everyone. I'm just going to put this down because I don't think I need two microphones. You don't need to hear me twice. That's not going to fall off, is it? No, wonderful. Hello. We're starting a short series today in Matthew's Gospel. Matthew 6, just with the focus on prayer and looking at what Jesus wants to say to us about prayer. So if you've got a Bible, there's some on the sides. I can't remember what they're called, but the sides. You want to turn to Matthew 6, and we'll just look at the first half, so 1 to 15. That's better. This is wobbling, and I knew that I'd fall over. So, Matthew 6. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But when you do not forgive others of their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When I was 15, 16, sort of finishing secondary school, I used to do quite a lot of sports. So I used to be quite sporty. I used to be in the rugby team. I even ran at sort of county level a little bit for my school. And I used to pretty much do sports every day. And then I finished secondary school, and I went to college, and I pretty much stopped this sports overnight. I just didn't really carry it on. And a few years went by, and then one day I was having a chat with my friend, Adam, who said, oh, I'm due to run this race next week. I'm doing a 5K fun run race. And he'd been building up to it, but he said, I'm gutted, I'm injured, so I can't run it. Now, I'm not sure what compelled me to do what I did next, but I just said, oh, it's fine, I'll run it for you. Now, he looked back with what I can only describe as sort of concerned disbelief of sort of, are you sure? And I was like, yeah, I'm sure it'll be fine. I've got a week. I've got a week to train up to do a 5K. And so Monday rolls around and I think, okay, well, this week I should probably do some training. Monday comes and I think, oh, it's fine, I've got loads of time. I'll do it tomorrow. Tuesday comes around, I think, I've got so much time, I'll do it tomorrow. Wednesday comes around, I think, okay, I should probably do some training today. So I put, my housemate at the time had a cross trainer, one of those things you use your arms as well, and I put it on the lowest possible setting. I watched the TV while doing it, and I went for what I can only describe as a brisk walk for about 1 kilometer on this cross trainer, because I didn't really want to overdo it, as I did have the race on Saturday. So I thought that was my training, that'll probably be okay. Thursday, Friday, I thought, well, the race is coming up, so I should probably rest my legs, really. So we get to race day, and I'm feeling confident. Somehow, for some reason, I still don't quite know. I'm feeling pretty confident about this. I meet up with Adam, his family are there, Lucy's there, my housemate's there. I'm thinking, oh, great, that's nice, I've got some support. And we meet up with Adam's friend Steve, who's also running this race. And I thought, oh, great, I'll run with Steve, because they've been training together and they were going to run together. And I thought, oh, that's fine. He's done a lot of training. I've done training-ish. And we'll probably be fine to run together. So I did about 30 seconds stretching that morning and thought I'd be all right. So we start the race, and we're sort of as we go and we start, I think I'm doing so well. Like we're running. And then we get to about a kilometer in. Now, as we hit this going into this second kilometer, there's a hill. And now this hill is about, I think I looked it up afterwards, and I'm pretty sure this hill is about a kilometer long. So we start it, and as we're going, I'm thinking, oh, okay, this is getting a bit tougher. And Steve just sort of slowly disappears off into the distance. And I got about halfway up this hill, so I'm about 1.5 kilometers into this race. And that's when I start to realize, okay, I think I'm in a bit of trouble here. As I, all these people start flooding past me, the ones that I'd gone past going, suckers, you're so slow. And they start flooding past me. It was not a good moment. And I get to about 4 kilometers in, I sort of stagger to 4 kilometers. And this was when I knew I was really doing badly. This woman, very kindly, there were various different races going on, and I think she was doing the 10K race, and so she was in her last kilometer of this 10K, just happily sort of jogging along, and I was sort of stumbling along as we went, and she said to me, as I say, this is when I knew I was not doing well, she asked me 2 questions. The first one she asked me was, how long have you smoked for? I'm not a smoker. And the second one she asked me was, how long have you suffered with asthma? And again, I don't suffer with asthma. I just suffer with severe stupidity. But this morning we're talking about prayer. And I think for a lot of us, our prayer life has changed quite a lot over the last few years. When we went into the pandemic, I think for some of us, all of our lives just got thrown up in the air. Our normal routines were so different. And I think for some of us, as that was happening, our prayer lives just kind of slipped through the net a little bit. We maybe found ourselves praying a bit less. We may have even stopped praying altogether. And as time went on, they become a few months, it becomes a year, becomes a couple of years. And as we begin to come out of lockdown, we think, oh, I should probably start praying again. I haven't really prayed in a while. But what you find is that when you've done this, and what you probably found in your exploration is this, is that prayers, it's a lot harder than you remember it being. So you try a few different things, you try a few different devotionals, you try a few different times a day, a few different days, you keep trying. But it's just not the same as you remember it being. It isn't as easy as it used to be. And you begin to think, I just don't think I can pray anymore. And I think this is a really hard place to be. And it feels exhausting when that becomes the case. And as we began to come out of lockdown, I remember hearing Archie Coates speak. He was the former priest in charge here, vicar of St. Peter's in Brighton, now the current vicar of HTB. He would often describe prayer as a muscle, saying the more we do it, the longer we can then go on for to do it. And so the more we pray, the longer over time we begin to pray for. I hadn't done any running in a long time, and I thought I could probably pull off a 5K, no problems. And I think when we come to prayer, we can sometimes think we can run a 5K before we've even gone for a jog first. And this can be really difficult because you used to be able to run a 5K. Yeah, that was easy. You used to really be able to do that. But the thought of even going for a little jog around the block suddenly feels a really daunting task and really overwhelming. And I think getting out of that place can feel near impossible because you feel like you're doing everything right. You feel like you're putting all the right things in place, but it just doesn't seem to be getting any easier, and it just doesn't seem to feel the same. And this is why I think this passage in Matthew 6 is so helpful for us, because Jesus doesn't only tell us how to pray, but I think the most important thing he does here is introduce us to who we are praying to. So prayer is not about the act of praying. It's not about the ritual of praying. It is about a relationship with the Father. Prayer isn't the end game. It's sort of a means to a relationship. And in Luke's gospel, the disciples, another account of this story, the disciples see Jesus praying, and they go up to him and say, Lord, teach us how to pray. And the first thing Jesus does is he points them to the Father. In verse 9, it just starts with, "Our Father." And I heard someone recently say that prayer is a lot less about the technique, but it's much more to do with who we think is listening. Because of what Jesus has done on the cross, we're no longer separated from the Father, but we're now part of his family. And as Christians, we are children of the living God. And at this time, this for them was quite a new, it was quite a new concept. And so, because before it would have been priests that were the only ones that were able to enter the presence of God by doing lots of different cleansing rituals. And this is now something by the Holy Spirit is readily available to all of us. And that does change things for us even now. Because the Father wants more for you than from you. You have a heavenly Father that is behind you, is cheering you on, that is for you. You got this. I believe in you. He's not a domineering Father. He's loving, he's kind, he's generous, he's tender. And sometimes we might not feel like that. Sometimes we don't feel it. I mean, we were singing just moments ago, "Even when I don't feel it, I know that you're working." And in Psalm 22, we've just got it up on the screens here. David is crying out to God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish?" And then literally the next Psalm, 23, you see David saying, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And then at the end of verse 4 of that, he then goes on to say, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." And there'll be moments where God feels, the Father feels really close, but there's moments where we just feel that he's so far away from us. And a prayer life for a Christian, it is important. It enables us to bring everything to God. And the more we know him, or the more you know someone, the more you spend time with someone, the better you get to know them. And A.W. Tozer says it like this. He just says, the more we know him, the more we want to know him. And when we pray, even when we don't feel it, whether we feel it or not, it doesn't change what is true. The truth that you are a child of God, the truth of who you're praying to, and the truth that your prayers will have an eternal impact. So what does this look like for us? Well, Jesus gives us a little heads up on how not to do it. Matthew 6, verse 5. "And when you pray, do not pray like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others." Jesus is saying essentially, you guys have completely missed the point of prayer. They see it as a performance, a way to improve their status. And Jesus is saying, no, you've got it all wrong. Verse 6, "When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen." This is just something between you and the Father. And it's this way of prayer that can then radically change our lives. There's something in our private prayer life that overspills to everything around us. Something so private between us and the Father has some of the largest impacts on our public life. And prayer isn't about the words we use. Verse 7, "Do not keep babbling like pagans." I love that word, babbling. It's a great word. "Do not keep babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words." And there's a book written by Pete Gregg called How to Pray. It's an amazing book. If you haven't read it, I highly recommend it. If you're wanting to look further into what this relationship with the Father can look like and you're wanting to explore more about prayer. But Pete Gregg essentially says there's three little things which have helped him with his prayer life over the many years he's been speaking on this. And the three things he just says is keep it simple, keep it real, and keep it up. Because your prayer life is not always going to be those amazing mountaintop moments of encounter. It might be, which is amazing. It's amazing when that happens. And everyone's prayer life is going to look quite different. We're all different people. I don't think there's one formula that fits everyone. And this is why it's so much more about a relationship than a ritual. And there might be times in your life where it is easier than other points. You might be going through a really difficult point and period at the moment where you just feel like you can't pray. And I think for you and your prayer life, it might look like stopping for 30 seconds before you walk out the door. Just thanking the Lord for something, saying sorry for maybe where you've gone wrong, and asking him to come again and fill you with his Holy Spirit. Maybe asking for something that day. It might look like taking a few moments while you're having breakfast, instead of reading through the newspaper, looking at today's articles, just spending those moments in prayer. It might look like praying before you get on the bus, while you're waiting at the bus stop, when you get in your car, before you turn your engine on. It might look like praying to the Lord, spending those moments doing that. You might find it helpful, actually, to begin with some sort of framework. There's amazing apps that also enable you to pray. Lectio 365, the Church of England's daily prayer app, is also really helpful. But it's all about a relationship with the Father. And if there's anything that enables you to do that, hold on to it. These things aren't a tick box exercise. And I think when we see it as a tick box exercise, or we try to make it more about that, that's when we begin to be burnt out and feel like it's no longer possible to continue with. And as I say, whatever helps you deepen your relationship, keep going with it. Don't babble like pagans. Keep it honest and keep it simple and keep it real. You might be having a really difficult day and all you can muster is, Lord, I'm struggling. Please help me. And I guarantee you, if you begin to do this, if you begin to spend those moments in prayer, you'll begin to see a life changed. You'll begin to see your life changed as you step into that relationship with the Father. And it feels like at this moment, the only natural thing really to do is to pray. When I was preparing what I was going to share this morning, I was just reminded of a story in Luke's Gospel where a child is... He takes his inheritance early, he runs off, he squanders it, he spends it all, and he comes back. And as soon as the father sees him, he just runs full pelt to embrace him and welcome him home. And I think maybe this morning might be a little bit of a turning point for some of us, where we just reorientate ourselves on that relationship. We no longer see it as a ritual. We don't want prayer to be this lifeless ritual. We want it to be a relationship. And you might fall into that group of people where, if you're being really honest, you've kind of just given up a little bit on praying. And maybe that prayer for you this morning is, Lord, I want you, or I want to want you. I want to start again. And this morning can be that marker in the sand of where you just start again. And so I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to invite Ali and the band to join me up here, but should we stand and we'll just go into a time of praying together. You might find it helpful just to close your eyes and put your hands out in front of you. And then maybe you may be struggling to just find the words this morning. So we pray, come, Holy Spirit.
Father, thank you for the fact that you hear us, that you want a relationship with us. We pray, come, Lord, come now. Just as we wait, maybe you just want to start offering up those desires and prayers in your heart. Maybe like David, it's a Psalm 22 prayer. Why have you forsaken me? Maybe it's a Psalm 23. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. whatever type of prayer it is, maybe just to start gently offering that up to God, even if he's felt really distant, to say, God, why have you felt so distant? Maybe it's an ask that you dare not ask. Maybe you've been asking for quite a while and it feels like God hasn't answered. Just gently start offering those up to God right now. You might want to whisper them out loud, just in the quietness of your heart. It'd be amazing to pray with some people this morning, and I think on of a number of things, but I felt like specifically this morning that on the ask thing, there's been you just know this is you. You've been asking God for things, and it's felt like he hasn't heard you and he hasn't come through. Or it's you've got a specific ask this morning, and you just want to ask God. I'd just love to encourage you to come to the front, and we'd love to pray with you. We're going to put a hand on your shoulder if that's okay, and just stand with you. And pray with you. Perhaps it's even difficult to articulate what that is, but that you want some prayer this morning. So we're just going to start to gently worship. But you want to come to your Father this morning and learn to pray again. Bible, it talks about it says these words, ask and you will receive. I think as well there's just some people in here who just you just want to you're just desperate to receive what God's got for you, so maybe you just want to come and stand at the front here and we'll pray for you. If you're in the middle of the row and that's you, and you just love some prayer this morning, why don't you just nudge someone and come out, and just as we start to gently worship, just come down the front here. It's a bit easier than in the hall actually now, because you can come out three different ways, and we'll just start to worship and just pray for whatever you want prayer for this morning. Yeah, so let's just worship to finish. But if you want prayer, you've got an ask, and you'd just love to stand with somebody else and do that ask with somebody else before the Lord, let's just start to gently worship and then pray for each other. I would nudge someone next to you if you don't want to walk to the front as well, and say, would you just pray with me as well this morning? So let's just start to worship, and do just come down as we start to worship as well. We'll pray together.